Hi, y'all. My name is Noah McKenzie, and I'm finishing up my junior year at North Raleigh Christian Academy. This past basketball season, we did lead them up throughout the year, and looking back, it benefited our team in so many ways. For one, it was just always a good time with constant laughter and jokes, and one of those activities that really brought us together as a team and built our chemistry. But even more importantly for the team and for me individually, the green teammate talk really took our team to the next level. Our coach really drove that lesson home for us, and it transformed us from a collection of guys into a selfless, driven, and functioning team that was building each other up. Super stoked and looking forward to how it will benefit and mold our squad next year.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, thank you for hanging out with us. Fun topic jumping in, and I want to welcome back my good friend Chris Woodside. If you missed the episode we recently released with Chris, absolutely want to encourage you to check it out as we discuss the four roles of leadership and how studies say, as you are currently in the midst of your dissertation working on your doctorate in sports leadership, how studies say only 2% of leaders actually accomplish all four roles of leadership at a high level. It was a powerful episode where it really talks about the fact that if we're going to do this whole thing on our teams correctly, we need everybody involved. Everyone's got the different skill sets. Everyone's got different strengths. Not only 2%. I mean, come on now, accomplish all four. It's a team effort. I even said for myself, I only really accomplished two of the roles. So I've got work to do. Right. So many topics, Chris, we talk about just over text and at times when we get together. Obviously, you know, teaching a leadership class up at St. Joseph's College of Maine, working on your doctorate in sports leadership. You are an assistant women's basketball coach up there. You are in the thick of it, in the grind, in the trenches of leadership. So today, let's talk about this topic that some interesting findings as you research through your dissertation that is demonstrating and showing that it is one thing for athletes to go through leadership development, mm-hmm. but it's a completely separate thing for them to then be given experiences and opportunities to actually take those moments of growth and education in the development courses and actually apply them, actually utilize them and demonstrate them in the practice, in games, in the actual settings. And your studies are saying that we're kind of missing the mark here. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think, again, thanks for having me on again to talk about this. You know, we are finding that athletes are really reporting as they go through this development that they're feeling more confident, that their self-efficacy is growing in their belief in their ability to lead. And then
as it should,
which is good. That's a positive thing. That's good for Lead 'Em Up. That's good for all of us that are doing leadership, right? That, hey, people are feeling better. And if I start to feel better and I feel like I can do something, I'm more likely to do it. But
by the way, sorry to interrupt. You're just hitting some things. I try to tell the players, remember the old saying back in the day, Chris, if you dress good, right? Or if you look good, you'll play good. Mm-hmm. Dion coined that and all that. This is where the real power is. When you feel good, you play good. When you feel more confident, when your self-efficacy is growing and you're feeling better, good things happen. Sorry.
No, that's great. Well, and so through this, you know, research, looking at learning. So I kind of went into the research of how people learn and how people build self-efficacy. And so Bandura talks about self-efficacy. And one of the areas that he says is the number one source of self-efficacy for people is a mastery experience, which is the ability to then actually use something and put it into play. When they can use it and are successful, they then feel the ultimate level of self-efficacy. So our students are getting the opportunity to learn about it, learn how to do it, maybe practice it in a little bit through our sessions, hour and a half, depending on the session. One of the things they're reporting is that they're not getting the opportunity to do it with their team. And so that's affecting their confidence. So they're saying, I think I'm a better leader, but I don't actually know because I haven't had the chance to do this with my team yet. Or I don't think my coach would let me do this. Or Coach Woodside, this sounds really cool. And it sounds like, you know, you're doing some great things with your team and some other people's teams, but I don't think that would happen on our team. Our coach doesn't let us do that. And, you know, it really opened up my eyes and I did a dive into some more literature. And, you know, what we're finding is coaches have the number one impact on the psychosocial development of athletes and their confidence when it comes to leadership. So you and I can do whatever we want. We can impact, and I know you're impacting athletes and students across the nation with Lead 'Em Up, and we can do a lot of that stuff. But the person that has the biggest influence on them is still their coach. And so if their coach isn't going to give them the opportunity to use these skills in practice, in game, they are stunting unintentionally, I'm imagining in most of the places, but they're stunting that growth of leadership. And so, you know, we talked about how can we be more intentional as coaches to ensure that athletes get opportunities to take these lessons they're learning in the classroom, working with you, working with me, working with other groups, and then apply them with their team.
How do they? Chris, how do they? It seems to make sense, right? I hear that. You know, what do they say? You don't know it until you can teach it. I think there's some truth there, right? Where I think this kind of plays into it. Like, you may know it, but until you've actually been able to demonstrate it and actually perform it, or as you said, the master expertise, actually like get the reps doing it in real life practice, you still don't feel fully confident. You don't feel like it's established within you.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I recently was giving a presentation at a, 25 coaches are in the room. Clearly they're there. They want to be involved in leadership. If you choose to come to my presentation, which is about leadership. And one thing stood out to me. I said, what do you do with your captains? And one person said, well, captains just do a coin flip. And I was like, if that's the case, that's the problem, right? That right there is a problem that you're like, that's their only role is, they go out and do a coin flip. Well, we have opportunities here day in and day out in practice. They say, what can you do? Right. I think we have to assign leadership roles to athletes within our practice plans. I know a ton of coaches are super intentional about their practice plans. They'll practice plan down to the minute. We're going to do this, this, this. This is who the team's going to be. And then I say, can we add to that some intentional leadership opportunities? So one of the things that I've used is each day I rotate who is going to be the team leader, if you will, of the blue team and the white team. So every day, in the practice plan, it says who's going to be on white, who's going to be on blue. Here's the team leader. And your role as leader is make sure your team's together. And so throughout practice, instead of stopping, hey, we're not doing what we need to do, let's get on the line, let's run, I'll blow the whistle, timeout. Just like a game, there's five timeouts. We have five timeouts throughout practice. Get with your team leader. Tell your team what you need to get better at, right? This is your opportunity to lead your team. Hey, what a great way to get them an opportunity to lead themselves. If we as coaches are always the one being vocal, we can't be upset that they don't know how to lead themselves because we've never given them the opportunity to lead themselves. So that's one idea.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways to have this play out. And I don't even necessarily know if it always just needs to be the super intentional, like you just said, which is fine, right? And that certainly, I just don't know. I don't think it always needs to be that way. I think one of the things that comes to mind for me is making them aware that they're doing the things they're doing that are demonstrating the leadership you taught. Mm. Making them aware of the things they're doing, of the things that you taught, because, I think about this, like we have a relationship exercise called going for the gold, where we try to teach our athletes the skill of mining for gold. Mining references the curiosity that relationship focused leaders have, right? The gold represents the connections that we are looking for in relationship. We want to build gold miners, right? Teach them the art of mining for gold, being curious, searching for gold mines and connections. Okay. Why do we call connections gold mines? Because they're valuable, Okay. That is why. And if you invest that gold, you make the relationship richer. That's just a little bit of the thought there. We'll teach that exercise. And there will be moments where I'll actually ask a player and say, hey, I want you to go over and like, I want you to take a few minutes. I want you to find as much gold as you can with so-and-so over there. And I'll use that phrase and give them an actual chance to go over there, engage in a conversation. We give them questions that they can help ask to help increase the chances. And that's a way to kind of, you know, help them master their expertise. Okay. But the reality is on that particular exercise, the players may do it a lot. They may actually find themselves doing it. They may begin doing it in ways that they're just doing it. They're not thinking anything of it. Maybe the name of the exercise isn't front of mind for them. So they're not like thinking in that moment, I'm going for gold right now, but they are, they're doing it. Maybe I want to take a moment and let them know you just did it perfectly.
I love
that. You just mastered it.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see? Hey, you know what I noticed a moment ago? You were talking to so-and-so, weren't you? I see y'all kind of dapped it up at the end. Why'd y'all dap it up? Oh man, you know, I just learned that, like, you know, we're both Rams fans and, you know, we both, you know, love the Rams and they're playing in the Super Bowl, this and that. And I had no idea they're a Rams fan. And I was like, oh snap. We started kind of chatting. Wow, man, that's a gold mine. That's a valuable gold mine. You don't even realize you just crushed it. You just uncovered a huge gold mine. And you just told me that y'all may watch the game together. That's called investing the gold. You're about to take that little gold mine. Wow, you just did exactly what we taught. Incredible job. So there, they may have gone through the process and not even recognized that they did the thing that they were taught. So then would end up on the side of your data saying, you know, like, I'm not getting the practice. You know, I haven't had that chance. When in reality, there may be moments where they are. We want to remind them.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll help produce the same outcome of them feeling confident in their act.
I love that. I love that. And recognizing that, you know, one of the things I had in my list in intentional is, you know, we recognized it, the silly little thing. We had little Lego blocks. They were building blocks of what our team is. And so at the end of practice, I would give out some of those building blocks. So when you use some of these things, they had terms on it, you know, leadership, communication, you know, our key values. Hey, Jada did this today and here's how it looked. That's what it looks like. And recognize. And so I love that. And then another one, which, you know, I'll give you all credit for, one of the early exercises out of Lead 'Em Up, I think one of the first year, the very first year, the you, me, we, right? And me, we, you. So same process, right? What's something I did? What's something someone else did? So we end practice in that huddle. Hey, who's got me, we, you, right? Who can get that shout out? And here are those opportunities, again, to recognize those leadership, because I think you are on point. Sometimes people actually are getting that opportunity. They're reporting that they're not because they don't realize, you know, that someone's recognizing it. But hey, we can have, as athletes, here's that chance to work on our communication skill right there in that huddle, recognize other people doing the things that we've taught. So I love that.
You know, this is what comes to mind when we're talking about this. I'll never forget. It's had a big, profound impact on me as a speaker. I invited Mono Watsa, president of PGC Basketball, on to sit in on a Lead 'Em Up session that I did one day. And it was a virtual session, so I had him sit on, and he sat in for the whole 90 minutes of the session. And I just wanted him to really just kind of see how we do our Lead 'Em Up sessions and give him a taste. And also, you know, just kind of invited him that, you know, anything I could do to get better, you know, let me know. And Mono's, you know, kind of trained that way anyways. He wants to help. He wants to lead. He wants to mentor. So he naturally is probably taking his own notes and was going to share them anyways. So after the call, Mono and I stayed on for about 45 minutes. And Mono had a list of things he wanted to deliver some feedback on for me. And this was maybe about a year ago. And it was pretty awesome. There, you know, let's say he had seven things on his list. I'd say maybe two of the things were areas that, you know, hey, I could see some improvement, you know, in these two areas. But the reality is the majority of the things he listed, he wanted to reaffirm things that he saw me do and that he believed I was doing really well and may not even realize it.
Mm.
And it made a huge impact on me. So apparently there were a variety of things that I do during my talks, my sessions that are really good. And I had no idea, Chris. I just do it. You just go through the motions. You're just kind of doing it. Maybe it's just natural for your personality. I've never really thought much about it. But on this particular day, Mono took this time and actually addressed it and actually brought light to it and said, you may not even realize, I just want to take a moment to celebrate you. You know, you notice when everybody was logging in, you know, you made a point to call each person out by name and like address them and welcome them in. What an incredible thing. It builds into this notion of connecting before you lead, right? It lets them know that they have been seen. It helps you, gives you a chance to quickly evaluate their emotional well-being, which kind of plays into your emotional intelligence, right? Of social awareness, which is one of the four quadrants of emotional intelligence, all this stuff, right? And I'm like, what? Like, what in the world? I just do it. You know, I didn't look at it from this deep kind of profound psychological perspective. But guess what? Now I do. It's now actually one of the things, now that it's been brought up to me, that I've kind of doubled down on, that I now do very intentionally. I've enhanced to make it even more impactful and more a part. It's an example of me doing something, demonstrating an act of leadership and not even realizing it, but recognizing when it got brought to my attention that I had been doing it and I've been doing it well, it actually increased my master expertise that you mentioned. I actually now feel like I'm much more of an expert on it simply because it got brought to my attention. So I think that's where I was going initially when I talked about, you know, not only do we want to find areas for them to lead, I also think we need to be very intentional to identify areas where they are kind of doing the leadership we discussed, where they're acting it out, where they're behaving in accordance to what we just taught, bringing it to their attention so they know what they may not have otherwise not known. So yeah. Important.
Huge. And obviously, Mono is phenomenal. He can make anybody feel like the top of the world, having been around him and a little bit of PGC. And I can say what he said is true. I remember seeing you in Sanborn, same thing. Everyone, as they came in, everyone got a dap, everyone got, you know, high five, whether it was fist bump and digging for gold then, right? It wasn't just, hi, how you doing? You know, oh, on to the next one. Hey, what's the highlight of your day? Hey, what was the highlight of the weekend? And it was huge. And you could tell they were ready to jump into the exercise as soon as you started talking.
And that's where the master of expertise is really powerful. You know, I feel like the Rogaine president. You know, I'm not only the president, I'm a client too, you know, but like the reality is there's a lot of drills and exercises we teach and lead them up that I live. In fact, all of them I live. There's some that are like literally like in my DNA. Okay. But that goes to the master expertise. It speaks to that. I've taught these things in a developmental type environment, but then I have lived them out. I have acted on them. I've gotten my repetition. I've gotten my practice. And now I view it as a expertise of mine, as part of my identity, part of who I am. I feel I'm very skilled at going for the gold. I feel like I'm skilled at sugar and salt communication. I'm not bringing that up to say, look, I'm skilled on it, but I'm bringing it up to kind of illustrate a point that when we can then get our people to begin living and doing and practicing and exhibiting the skill sets of which we teach, it will become part of who they are. It'll begin to be part of their DNA, their identity-based leadership, where they now feel even more skilled and equipped and empowered and confident in it. It's real.
Yeah, it's 100% real. And why it's so important, knowing that the coaches have the biggest influence on how an athlete feels and how they feel within their efficacy and their belief in themselves, can you start to recognize it? I heard a great story. I forget where it was from, but Bill Belichick, obviously we know he's a very successful coach. And the story goes that he keeps a list of his players And he has it listed out for the day to ensure that he kind of touches everybody. We have a team that's football. I mean, that's a large team. That's a lot of people to make sure. But he wanted to make sure that he could give somebody feedback and that nobody would go the whole week without hearing from him. So intentional, he'd write down, hey, you know, these 10 people, I'm going to make sure I talk to them. And I'm going to find something that they're doing right. And I'm going to find something that I can coach them on. And so now he's tracking and being intentional with giving that feedback. And so, you know, that's that next level for our coaches. Are you being intentional? I think especially as the season goes on, it can be easy as a coach to get lost in what do we need to do to win our next game, right? What do we need to do? And like, hey, it's great. We spent that hour in, you know, lead 'em up session. We spent that hour, you know, having dinner. Okay. Now it's now once we're in the gym, it's time to, hey, let's run this, you know, this. But can we now say, you know what, I'm going to put on here, I'm going to recognize when someone's doing that, or I'm going to be intentional about trying to find these three athletes. You know, we haven't given them any love. In PGC, when I work for them in the summer, they talk about the catch 22 during the week. You know, who are the two people that, you know, really need some love, you know, because their things aren't going well for them? And who are the two that are really excelling and maybe we need to challenge them to a next level? That catch 22, both too high, too low. I try to use that every day in practice before I walk in here. Who are two people that really need some love and some opportunity to recognize like you're doing something well? And who are two that are doing things really well that maybe, you know, we just take for granted? And I think about like our starting point guard, she's phenomenal, leads our team in rebounds, assists, steals, right? She does everything. And yet, you know, she maybe doesn't get all the love. One of the things I, you know, mentioned the other day is every time we do a free throw drill, right? It might be just, hey, shoot two. If you miss the first, you got to run down and back. Right? She never misses. She shoots like 90% from the free throw line. We've done that drill maybe 65 times this year where people have to run. Every time without fail, whether she made or miss, she never allows someone to run alone. She never says anything about it. She gets on the line and just runs with it. She just runs with them. And, you know, we hadn't necessarily brought it up into the whole group before. I remember the other day I just went to her, I was like, you know, I recognize you. I see you doing that. And you could just see the smile. Like, she's like, that's just what, you know, you're supposed to do. Nobody told her she had to do that, but she's leading. And you know what? I guarantee her teammates love her for that. Like, now I never have to run alone. So I just, you know, recognize.
Powerful. And 90% from free throw line.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
Automatic.
Might as well call it automatic. Might as well. I want to get, if we can get her to the line 10 more times, it'd be great.
Yeah. Keep driving to the lane, right? Get contact.
Definitely.
Because your money, your buckets.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love how Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, kept things simple. He would talk about the importance in the language we used with guest and team. He knew it was something we could all utilize regardless of having money, position, or power. It's free for all of us to use. One example is the idea of responding to a guest saying thank you with my pleasure. This change in language simply delivers a more grateful and unique way to appreciate others in the restaurant and workplace. It can change the way a team member and customers feel cared for, and I would say it even makes the fries and milkshakes taste better. Simple, kind wording opens the door for so many more conversations in these relationships. What wording can you use regularly to show a new level of kindness? Now, let's jump back to the episode.
Let me touch on just a few additional intentional ways to going back to the beginning of the conversation about how do we give them the ability to act out on these things? All right. What are some ways to actually do that? You know, we have one exercise called Beat the Coach. Don't know if you remember that one, Chris. We've got a big curriculum, so I get it. Beat the Coach. It's just this little in practice game between coaches and players. And when you see things that need to be addressed, the players have to beat the coach to addressing it. And if the coach addresses it before the players address it, point for the coach. But if the players address it before the coach does, point for the players. Now, if the players address it before the coach, but the coach still needs to then come back in and offer some additional authority, that's still a point for the players, right? Like, so we do a competition. It's a running scoreboard throughout practice, throughout the course of a week. It's called Beat the Coach. Cool little exercise to help encourage our players to, they will give the be given the opportunity to kind of lead those moments in practice of getting the group locked in, increasing energy, you know, coached up when they miss an assignment, right? You saw it, player. You say it, right? Why, you saw it. You know, don't wait for me. So we love to beat the coach. It really puts a lot on them. So if you're teaching in the classroom accountability and communication and energy and enthusiasm and what that looks like, well, you can then help build it, coach it, hold it accountable in practice. Let's beat the coach. Let's play a little competition. Here's another one. We teach a concept called lifeguarding. It is our theme of how we present accountability. We don't use the phrase accountability. We use a lifeguard, but it's all built around this theme of having each other's back, because the lifeguard is essentially someone out there looking out for you, right? They have your back to make sure nothing bad happens, make sure you're good, you're protected, free from danger. They help make sure you're well positioned. So lifeguards are how we phrase that. We tell everybody every player plays the role of a lifeguard. There will be moments where a player may say, they may come to the coach and address and call out a player and just say, you know, so-and-so is just not doing it. Like every time we're running this, so-and-so does this, or maybe it's an out of practice, maybe it's an off court thing. And, you know, so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so, and they're bringing it up to you with the hopes that you will address it and hold them accountable. I love reminding them using the lifeguard language that I'm off duty.
I love that.
I'm off duty. I agree. Yeah. So-and-so, yeah, it needs to get brought up. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. But unfortunately I'm off duty. You're it. Hey, but don't worry though. Don't be concerned, right? Because we've already went through sugar and salt communication exercises. I want you to think about that when you go and talk to them, right? Think about those two dynamics. Think about the four components of sugar and salt that we teach, right? That help influence how much sugar, how much salt, how to manage them. We already talked about going for the goal. You got a pretty good relationship with them, don't you? Yeah, it's pretty good, right? You're in a good position and you've got the great relationship. You've been equipped with some of this communication stuff. Just go in. You got it. You go do it. I'm off duty. I love telling players I'm off duty. I love it when it comes to this stuff. Now, obviously, if it's significant or majorly serious and I've got to step in, I don't like turn my cheek in those moments. But a lot of this other stuff, it's you. So but you're not going to do those things. You're not going to talk about I'm off duty and that unless you're actually trying. Unless you've made a concerted effort to say, I want to start empowering them. I want to start giving them the permission. I want to give them the authority. One thing I share a lot of times in the coaching clinics when we talk about accountability is, you know, one thing that's so critical for our leaders, we got to give them authority and not just responsibility.
Yes.
Where we tend to do the opposite. So this point about empowering leaders, we tend to just empower them with a whole lot of responsibility. Hey, you pick up the balls after practice, fill up the waters, right? You know, go around, pick up all the cones, whatever, right? We give them a whole list of responsibility and we shove that into, I'm developing leaders, right? Getting them to lead. Look at that, I got them doing this. Oh yeah, picks up all the water. Oh yeah, they, you know. No, that's responsibility, which is part of it, yes. But give them some authority. Think about your own life. Think about your own life. There's almost nothing more frustrating and demoralizing in the workplace than when someone has a tremendous amount of responsibility with very little authority. It's one of the worst situations to be in, right? Where you're going to be held accountable for the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly, all of you're held accountable. Oh, but by the way, you get no say or influence or authority to change anything. That's the worst, right? But I think for us, when we're talking about empowering them, giving them the keys, allowing them to practice and demonstrate and get the reps of the things of leadership that we teach in the classes, and we want to be able to give them the authority to kind of do some of this. You know what? No, you handle it, right? That's why we do the green standards. You all do the standards. Not me. You all do them. You all hold them accountable. it's a mindset shift, but you know, beat the coach, that reference of off duty versus on duty, couple of easy ways to give them the ability to go do it themselves.
You know, you just touched on so many really good things that coaches do. And I think a lot of times it's non-intentional. The coaches, it's not like they don't want to give them responsibility. It's just, you're so used to doing things for people, preparing the road for them instead of preparing them for the road, if you will. And I love those examples that you've given of intentional opportunities. Give them that chance to lead. Give them that chance to do more than, hey, it's great, you get to go out for the coin flip, as that one coach said, right? That's what the captain gets to do. I really love giving the players the timeout. Something's not going right. Instead of, hey, let's get on the line, it's timeout. Get together and talk with your squads and say, what do we need to come out as, right? I love throughout the year doing player practices. So they're the ones that write up the practice plan because they're saying, this is what we need to work on. And now there's buy-in and I rotate through. Does anyone want to plan a practice this year? I give them some freedom and some accountability on that. Hey, coach, I really would like to do that. Great. Let's sit down. You know the drills. Tell me what we need to do. And then we'll run that. And I think, you know, they appreciate that opportunity and see like, hey, you know, I am getting to do these things. And now we're recognizing. If we apply some of these with some of that, and now we're also recognizing when they're doing the things, imagine the impact we're going to have on their leadership belief. When they leave our program and go out into the world or go into the next level of program, their coaches are going to be like, wow, I can't imagine how great a leader I was going to get. I didn't know that I was getting this. You're changing our culture. Or if they're going out into the workforce, right, they're going to be difference makers in the workforce. Yeah. And it all starts with that impact we have as coaches.
You know, one of the other things I really enjoy doing is, from my role with the teams to lead them up, when I'm working the sessions with the players, you know, we, year after year, we come back to many of the same concepts because we want to instill that, right, and have it be firmly established in their mind. And when I get a player that's been with me for a couple of years and we're starting fresh, right, we're jumping into the new season, maybe there's a large number of new players on the team, but I've got one or two that are veterans in the lead them up space. I love taking a seat, giving them the keys to introducing the concepts. I love it. All right. Hey, everyone, we're going to start with green team, you know, and maybe that's week one. We're going to establish that foundation. I did it just recently, Damascus High School, a young man named Peter, great leader. Man, just he's all in on this stuff. He's a baller too. Just got his second triple-double of the season, which is not easy in high school, right? Yeah. When you've got limited time, right? The kid's a baller. But I sat down this year, literally this year, just a few months ago at the beginning, green team, he taught it. I sat down. I said, you know, we're going to go through this because we always want to kind of establish this foundation. And this is going to be critical to what we talk about and where we're going this year. Peter, you've been through this now twice. I want you to come up. How do you feel about that? I'll do it, coach. Yeah, I got you. Now, was it as clean as me presenting it? No, it wasn't. But I want you to think about that player's perspective.
You changed the trajectory of his belief in himself right there.
Not only that, his belief in the what we're building.
Yes.
Fine. Right? Like huge. What we're trying to do. He just taught it. He literally taught for about 15 minutes. There were a couple of moments where I had to kind of nudge him, right? And kind of help remind him a little parts. Like, hey, remember, hey, what's rule three again? And he's like, oh, I'm trying to remember, which is totally good. Right? Boom. Putting them in the most. I'm going to tell you, green team. Oh, it's in his DNA right now. It is in him. He can go and teach it. He is probably the best at holding the team accountable to it. He owns it. Mm. He's an expert at it. He has mastered the expertise and he feels confident with it. That's just the power that when we take the things from the classroom, when we take the things we're teaching and put it into the players and let them actually live it, it changes everything. Chris, love this topic. data supports this theme, right? So we're not just speaking hypotheticals or anything like that. Okay.
No, the data says it.
Anecdotally or anything like that. Data supports this and it's powerful.
Super powerful. And, you know, it's just that willingness as a coach to step back. Your willingness for that young man to step back and say, you know what? You can do it. That was everything. And as you said, was it the same as you? Of course not. But did it have probably the same or even greater impact on the team? Probably the same or greater, right? I would say greater, probably.
You know, I'm actually thinking about that as you talk about that. I'm trying to think about the rest of the team, the younger guys that are new to the Lead 'Em Up experience. I mean, I would have to imagine that would actually be greater.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, it is showing and demonstrating that what we learn here is not meant for us just to kill an hour of time.
Mm. Right.
That the time we spend here, the expectation is that we want you to learn it. We want you to live it. And when you look at your peers around you, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. When Peter steps up there and teaches it, he's demonstrating and communicating a message out to everyone that like, oh, this is part of us. Like, you've got to know this as well as you know our out of bounds set. Mm. You need to know this just as well as you know Kansas when we yell Kansas coming down on the half court. If you don't, you're going to struggle. Just like if we aren't experts at Kansas, we're going to struggle. And that's actually an interesting thing as we wrap up here. You know what? Maybe we need to compare it to that for a coach to truly change the perspective. Okay. We may draw up Kansas in the locker room before practice. We may draw that up. Okay. Right. Show them. And then we go out on the court and we walk them through it. And then we sit back and we let them go through it. We give them reps to go through it. We want it to be well oiled. We want it to be efficient. And why? Because we want them to be confident with it when it comes time to run it in a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this literally not paralleled to the exact theme that we're talking about here, right? We're going to teach the leadership components, right? How to hold others accountable, how to develop great relationships, right? How to communicate effectively, how to lock in and focus from a mindset engagement perspective, all these different themes, right? How to develop and instill better habits into our daily lives, all these different dynamics here. We're going to teach it. We want to give you some practice so you then can go out and execute it with expertise.
Mm.
It's absolutely the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. I mean, you summed it up well. And it's about us giving them that opportunity and thinking intentionally. Again, I think most coaches, it's an unintentional thing that they're not giving that feedback or that they're maybe not focused on that because they are so focused on, are we running Kansas? Are we running, you know, our defense right? So here's that challenge, right? Because obviously the individuals that are listening here, they're people that are interested in leadership, right? They want their teams to be leaders. So take a look at your daily practices, what you do. How can you find a way to fit one of these ideas in, either something you threw out, or something you came up with that's even better? Share what you've done better, please.
And listen, I'm running with this idea. I love this little connecting it. It's going to start being used in my sessions with my teams.
Great.
I'm going to begin challenging them to get to know these topics that we talk about at the same level they know Kansas, Oklahoma, whatever the drill or whatever the set is. Because I think it resonates so differently. Because we would never allow Kansas. I don't know why I keep going back to Kansas. I'm just thinking of Kansas, right? But we would never allow us to just moderately understand and moderately be able to produce that set on offense. We would never allow it.
Correct.
We would never allow that. We're going to do this until we get it, right? Like, I mean, how many times have you heard coaches?
Right.
We're going to do it till we get it right. Let's go. Run it back. What if the core components of leadership within our players, within our team, what if we took the same approach? No. We're going to run it back until we get it right. Game changing.
Huge.
Chris, appreciate you, buddy. As always, you can find Chris on social media, CWoodside33. As he shared on the previous episode, best of luck, Chris, to you as you continue through the process of your dissertation, as you are studying all this theme of sports leadership and team leadership, as you are working towards your doctorate in sports leadership. I'm excited to kind of follow along on this journey with you and possibly even get you back for another episode here in the near future, Chris. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. On behalf of the entire team, coaches, have fun and lead them up.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.